Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
My name is Josh Young, and I've been going to Awake going on 10 years, hard to believe. For those of you that do know me, know that I've worked with Matt Peterson, senior pastor here, going on 20 years in some work we do in East Africa together called Hydrating Humanity. Matt asked if I could share this morning, and I'm excited to do so. You know, my plan, especially with such a great mood, is to be an encouragement to all of you. I do feel like the Lord has put something on my heart. I believe that the areas of your life that you most hope to see change and see breakthroughs in is possible. Okay? And I'm not just talking about circumstances. I'm talking about you, me, us, changing. The Lord really does want to partner with us. You know, God has placed a promise on your life that he's going to complete the good work that he started. And that all things will work to your good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. Those are some amazing promises. And if you really believe those two scriptures, then I do believe your best is yet ahead. No matter what you've experienced, trauma, anything, your best is yet ahead. So today, I want to dovetail a little bit on some things Matt touched on last week. I wasn't able to be here. I was visiting a friend who had come in from Pennsylvania, visiting down in Lake Norman. I hadn't seen him in like 25 years. Amazing how that happens. But I missed it. And so as I was preparing this week, I went back and watched the service last week. And funny enough, the way the Lord works sometimes, Matt touched on some things that I knew that I was supposed to share today. So even a couple scriptures, I might use, I think, one or two of the same. There's plenty. But to me, that speaks of the Lord confirming some stuff. He wants to really encourage us in a way. So what I want to really focus on today, and it's a tough topic, it's self-discipline. Ouch. That's not easy. Self-discipline. But I believe your future, who you're becoming as a Jesus follower, as a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife, the legacy of impact that you want to make here on earth is tied to self-discipline. I mean, think about that for a minute. Think of some of the situations that we have found ourselves in. But there's good news here too. Jesus, I mean, his self-discipline was perfect. He only did what he saw the Father doing. We're supposed to become more like Jesus every day, right? And yet, I think many of us can walk around defeated. Feel like we're not living up to our own potential. So I mentioned last month when I was welcoming on stage that I recently turned 50 last month. I'll say that because I have been more self-reflective, if I'm being honest. Leading up to it especially, I'm over the hump, so to speak. But I want to run my race well. I want to make my time count. Don't you? Anyone else? I mean, it's flying by. I want to make it count. I don't want to be on a hamster wheel of self-effort, of feeling like I'm here again. I'm not measuring up. You know, I think not this church, maybe other churches, family of God, I think we can have a tendency to lay blame, if you will, on the culprit of pointing to the enemy, things that we're dealing with. We blame the devil, when really it could be a discipline problem. I say that, and I'm in it with you. I don't want to sound harsh in that, but I think a lot of situations we're blaming the devil when we should blame discipline or lack of it. We know that the enemy wants to steal, kill, destroy. He's terrible. We know that. But guess what? Jesus has overcome the enemy. We've got to live from a foundation of that truth, as opposed to believing that and feeling like we're always getting our butts kicked. Let's not give the devil too much credit, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. That's truth. Greater is he in you than he is in the world. Isaiah 14 and some, I mean, there's debate on the interpretation, speaking of the king of Babylon being displaced. But it's interesting to me, because there are some parallels of the devil as well, and saying this in Isaiah 14. Everyone, speaking of the devil, everyone there will stare and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth and made the kingdoms of the world tremble? Really? This is him? Let's not give the enemy more power than he has. We know that every temptation, Matt touched on this last week, there is not a temptation that exists that has more power to persuade you than the Spirit of God living inside of you. So why do we give in? That was 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Lord provides a way out. So we know the old phrase, the devil made me do it, right, is a lie. That's not true. The enemy didn't make you speak ugly to your spouse. He didn't. He can't. Didn't make you overeat. Right? Didn't make you look at pornography. Give in to addiction. He didn't make you do it. He's not that powerful. Matthew 4:3 actually calls the devil the tempter. He can provide opportunities, and he will. He's guaranteed. He's a liar, manipulator. Constant stream of lies that you're going to be dealing with. Who you are as a person, if you're good enough, if God is good. If Jesus was tempted, we will be too. And he knows your weak points, but he can't read your mind. So we know the enemy is going to provide opportunities for us to sin. But he's not, and he can't make us do it. So did I say I wanted to be an encouragement today? I do, I really do, because we have some incredible truths in the Word. We have some amazing benefits as believers to help us walk this out. We're all in this process of becoming more like Jesus. We have help, and amazingly so. So what is self-discipline? Where do we get it? I find it curious sometimes to look up the secular definition of biblical principles or words. The dictionary describes self-discipline as this: the ability to control one's feelings. I'm going to come back to feelings. We know feelings are in that soul area. I think, I feel, I want, right? The ability to control one's feelings and overcome one's weaknesses. The ability to pursue what one thinks is right despite temptations to abandon it. I mean, that definition by itself, there's a lot of kingdom language, right? Overcoming weakness, pursuing righteousness, besides being tempted not to do it. So I want to highlight, too, that there's a lot of ways to be self-disciplined. And you don't have to be a believer in Jesus to demonstrate it. God put in place spiritual and physical laws here on earth, and you don't have to be a believer to benefit from them. Gravity is one. Physical law, God put it in place. Of course, we know that he can defy that law and has. But for us, I don't think it's a good idea that we test that. We adhere to the principle that God created. What about all hard work brings a profit? That's not just for believers or unbelievers. All hard work brings a profit. In this law, we see people, whether they acknowledge Jesus or not, they're successful. There's a whole lot of athletes that have been extremely disciplined, worked incredibly hard, that have benefited from hard work. It's a principle. Same with business owners. When you think of people that really work hard, typically they're going to profit from it. Now, what I don't want to do, I think there's a rabbit hole and a whole other side that we know. What does it talk about the scripture of benefiting, gaining the whole world, but losing your soul? So I don't want to get into that side. There's a real downside to just being a hard worker and disciplined and making a lot of money and being super successful. We know that. Don't need to say anything more about that. But we need to acknowledge that there are a lot of ways to be disciplined, physically, mentally, and of course, spiritually. Part of the problem, I think, that we have as, I guess, humans, when we're making tiny little judgments about ourselves or others, is that we can only see in some ways with our eyes. We try and discern and be more spiritual about things, but let's face it, we're making judgments typically with what we can see. And everyone has certain disciplines that they're, in some ways, better at than others. We need to keep in mind what the Lord values and what he sees. I mean, spiritual disciplines are right up there. I mean, if you take someone that's in great shape, wakes up at 4:30 in the morning, works out, strict diet, super dialed in, super successful, and you have a look at the inside and zero spiritual discipline. They're cheating on their spouse. They're speaking ugly. Their thoughts are a mess. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 says this, which I find interesting. Rather, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily training is just slightly beneficial, but godliness is beneficial for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I think it's putting that in perspective. Again, as humans, I think we can check the box on things that we think are really important to us and feel like we're doing great. But here's the truth. We have access to the source that can encompass and bring forth self-discipline in every area of our life. If we start with the spiritual disciplines, I believe that cascades to being disciplined in life. And it's the most important. Some of you may be familiar with Derek Prince. Anyone familiar with Derek Prince? Amazing Bible teacher. Has gone on to be with the Lord. I remember hearing, and I looked it up again just to refresh my memory, but this was in the 90s. I think he was probably in his 60s at that point. But what he shared was that he had been gently rebuked by the Lord. And the Lord basically said this: if you do not start being more disciplined in how you're caring for your body, then you're not going to be able to fulfill all that I have for you in your life. Wow. Here's a guy, amazing. I don't know how many books he's written, incredible man, and the Lord is telling him, I've got more stuff for you to do. But you're not going to be able to fulfill that unless you start being disciplined in this area. That was all it took for Derek to make some changes. I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill my call. Every bit of it. So the importance of self-discipline is both practical and spiritual. Another thing I want to point out is whether you're a believer or not, we're all spirit, soul, and body, correct? Whether you believe in Jesus or not, that's a fact. That's the truth. When we accept Jesus, we're born again. Our spirit, through the Holy Spirit, can connect with God. That's an amazing thing already. What an amazing advantage. I mean, it says in John 3:3 that if you've not been born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So already, as believers in Jesus, we can connect with the life source. Incredible. Our soul is described, it's non-physical as well, obviously, that part that encompasses one's mind, will, and emotions. Personality, I think, I feel, I want part of us. And I want to make a point here. The soul is not the carnal nature. Are you tracking with me? It's not. The soul can be influenced by the spirit or the carnal nature, okay? When you think of being influenced, your soul, that I think, I feel, I want, I don't know about you, but there's times I know my feelings are not being influenced by the Holy Spirit. It especially happens when I'm driving and someone is doing 10 miles per hour under the speed limit in the passing lane. I am not feeling nice towards that person. I'm not being influenced by the Spirit. Also that thing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. There is that I think, I feel, I want that can be influenced. God made it, right? So it's going to be influenced by the carnal nature or by the Spirit. You know, a part that we're contending with here on earth is walking this out, overcoming sin, and living in accordance with God's will. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, talked about beating his body, disciplining his body. He says in verse 27, but I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. That's a vivid description of putting yourself in check. I mean, there's something powerful of the right alignment of spirit, soul, and body. We want our spirit in pole position, not being dictated by the soul. We want to be connecting with the life source that cascades down to all those other things. If we want to live victoriously in self-discipline, this is key. I'm not going to allow my flesh, my carnal nature to dictate. I'm not going to be dictated by I think, I feel, I want. I'm going to tell it what's good for it, not the other way around. Is everyone tracking with me? This is important because we are, again, all in the process of becoming more like Jesus. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. Romans 8 talks about being transformed into the image of God's Son. We're being transformed. So let's talk about the source of self-discipline, the most sustainable, consistent, and never-failing source. Well, we know that's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. How about this? For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, some translations fear, but of power and love and discipline. He's not given you a spirit of fear. Fear is an amazing motivator, even as it relates to accomplishing things. It's a terrible master. He has not given you a spirit of fear. These three things, Power, yes. Love, yes. Discipline, yes. Are incredible for living an overcoming life. And it says that's what he's given us. That's what he's given us. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You want to know if you're bearing fruit? Are you joyful? Are you peaceful? Are you faithful? Are you filled with goodness? Are you demonstrating self-control? Fruit of the Spirit. The Greek word for self-control in Galatians that we just read is enkrateia. This word literally means to have power over oneself. To have power over oneself. It emphasizes the idea of mastering one's desires and impulses. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, not just human willpower. Okay? If self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, then being connected to Jesus is key. It says in John 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. We need to really understand this because the opposite side of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being connected to Jesus, is self. Right? What else do you have? That term self-made, doing it yourself, striving, legalism, your own strength, law, your best effort. And I think we can also be honest, some people do have incredibly strong willpower without knowing Jesus until they don't. There's a better way. Paul talks a lot about this, the law as it relates to our flesh. I mean, if you go back, I don't have time today, and look at Romans 7. I mean, Paul is in it with us. He says, for the good that I want to do, I do not do it. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. Can anybody relate to really trying not to do something and feeling like it's an impossible thing to overcome? He also says in throughout Romans 7, the fact that law reveals sin. Without the law, how do we define what sin is? And ultimately, deliverance only comes by the Spirit, not self-effort. You can go back and read Romans 7. So I believe Scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit is the only power that can help us live a Christ-like life. Are we paying attention to the Holy Spirit? Are we giving the Holy Spirit his due in our thoughts and an invitation? I mean, if Jesus said this to the disciples, it still blows me away in John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I mean, if you're a disciple, there's no way that that's really making sense to you. You've got the Son of God who's been walking with you, demonstrating incredible things. And then he's telling you, you know what? It's better if I'm not here, if I go. Why is it better if he goes? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's true for us today. Jesus went to the Father. The Holy Spirit has come to help us. I don't want to do this life without his help, without being empowered, filled. It's impossible for me to fulfill my potential, for us to fulfill our potential, to walk a disciplined life without it. impossible. In this same vein, it also says, greater works will you do. That's an amazing scripture as well. So skipping to Galatians, okay, 5:16, how do we walk by the Spirit? It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's clear. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. You cannot walk by the Spirit without being filled with the Spirit. You can't do it. You can try. If this doesn't give you hope for personal change, to know what's possible in Jesus, for you to overcome the things that have burdened you about yourself, places where you felt stuck, unable to get over, this is great news. I think some of it is going from a head knowledge of this availability and power to really real presence, real infilling of the Spirit, of the living God. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times, I mean, especially as a young person and praying, I want more passion, God. I want more passion. I want my desires for your word, for your presence, for your love. And I've been encouraged by Psalm 37:4 that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Lord knows what he's doing in this scripture by way of, if you abide and delight in the Lord, you can't help but be transformed. Your desires will line up with his desires. And the great news about this, it says he'll give them to you. That's amazing. You want to desire godly things? Delight in the Lord. Time with God, prayer, delighting is going to transform you. It's going to transform your very desires. That's incredible to think about. We live in a world today, especially the Western world. I mentioned I do some work in Africa, and there are, I mean, we're providing clean water to schools and kids that have never had access to it. So still some rough places in the earth. But in the West, we live in a culture obsessed with comfort. Too hot? Turn on the AC. Too cold? Crank the heat. You hungry? DoorDash will deliver pretty quickly. We live in a place where we can satisfy our whims in a moment. You leave church today, you feel like Mexican food? You got it. You'll drive by several places. Feel like Thai food? You got it. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. I'm just saying we live in such a culture of comfort that we can satisfy whatever we're feeling in the moment. You want to look at pornography? Very easy. The access these days for anything that our flesh cries out for is so easy. That's a tough culture that we're dealing with. Our appetites. You know what's interesting about the brain? The neuroplasticity in our brains is that it can be changed. New pathways can be formed in our brains. God is amazing. Scientists, in their best effort, I tell you, they typically confirm how amazing and majestic and perfect we are designed. So I listened to a part of a podcast the other day, a guy that I follow, neuroscientist, and they think they've discovered an area in the brain called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. So get this, it's an area of the brain that lights up, actually gets bigger when you do hard things. When you choose to do something hard, deny yourself, this part of the brain lights up and actually gets bigger when you exercise those things. Isn't that amazing? So when they look, it's typically bigger in athletes. And good news for us that aren't athletes. And for people that take on challenges and kind of embrace that I'm an overcomer of any challenge. That spot in your brain grows. Doing hard things is actually good for you. It really is. When you think about doing hard things, to me the reality is there's no easy way out. There's no easy way out. Choosing to get up and work out or watch what you're eating or be healthy is hard. It really is. But I tell you what else is hard. Being unhealthy, not feeling well. That's hard. That's really hard. There's no easy way out there. It's choose your heart. What about choosing to forgive? That can be really hard, especially if that person doesn't deserve it. But I tell you what's also hard, carrying bitterness and allowing that to eat you up. That's hard too. There's no easy way out. We've got to choose our heart, knowing that it's going to be really, really good for us. So I want to give a couple practical things. I've got to wrap up here. One way, we don't have time to dig into it, but one way of bringing your flesh into subjection, doing hard things, is fasting. Fasting's hard. If you look up what fasting does on a physical level, it's pretty amazing. It gives your body a chance to heal. Your cells get cleaned up. It's an amazing thing. There's a lot of studies on it. Fasting spiritually, humbling yourself before the Lord, is powerful. There's many places in Scripture where cities and nations are changed through prayer and fasting. But you want to subject your flesh? Fast. Wow. We need to be intentional with God. Being in His presence, delighting in Him, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've got to believe, listen, that our time spent in the morning connecting with the Lord is way more powerful, important than anything we can get to in our responsibilities. I'm with you. There's many times I get up in the morning and I feel like my to-do list is crazy and I'm distracted and the first thing I want to do is just get to the computer and start working. I mean, we really got to believe time, abiding, delighting in the Lord is going to do far more for us, be far more productive than skipping that part. We got to believe that that is truth. And then we've got to receive. We've got to receive every provision the Lord has made available for us, the Holy Spirit. Need to close. God has given you a spirit of love, power, self-discipline. Your best self lies ahead of your intimacy with the Lord. Your best self. Some of you might be battling habits or struggles that you feel impossible to change. This morning, addictions, anger, feeling unhealthy patterns of thinking, feeling stuck, wondering, where is God in all of this? I'm trying my hardest. I'm trying my best, God. I want to tell you Right now, the Lord wants to meet you. Right where you're at. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus went to the cross on your behalf, shedding his blood for your sin, shortcomings, disease, all of it. We can be washed white as snow, regardless. Some of us may be in a situation today that it's been either an issue or a circumstance that it's been our fault. It's been a lack of discipline. You might be facing a health issue. You might be facing something where a lack of discipline has put you in a hard spot. Maybe it's you've said some very mean things to someone you love. It's hard to get those words back. You weren't disciplined in how you were speaking to your spouse. Whatever it is, there's hope today. There's a fresh start possible. God is good. He loves you. He really does. He wants to help you in this area. He wants to help you to become all that you were meant to be, your fullest potential. There might be others of you, just like the blind man in John 9, where the disciples asked, was it his sin or was it his parents that caused this blindness? Of course, Jesus said it was neither. It was so power, the works of the Lord might be demonstrated in him. We live in a world that we can be kind of overwhelmed. Heavy metals, microplastics, toxic sprays, pesticides, compromised food supplies. I mean, we need Jesus. Even in the best version of ourselves, walking super disciplined, we need Jesus. We need his power. And God wants to help. So if you would, I'm not going to point out or ask anyone in particular to stand up. How about we all stand? The Lord wants to meet us today. A fresh start, healing. If you need healing in your physical body, again, regardless of circumstances that led to where you are today, let's stand in faith for our brothers and sisters today. If you need relationships restored, if you're feeling like you have not been able to overcome a certain area in your life that you really want to see changed, the Lord wants to meet you this morning. He is able, and he loves us so much to do so. So, Lord, here we are. Lord, any area of repentance, Lord, of allowing ourselves to be influenced by the flesh, being undisciplined in our life in any way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, we repent. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we're asking for an infilling anew, afresh of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we get to do this with you. We are overcomers. It is amazing. Lord, fill each and every person here afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't want to do this life without you. We want to partner with you for everything that we're doing. Lord, help us run our race strong. Let us do hard things and be transformed in the process. Lord, we love you. We're your sons and daughters. Here we are. Lord, I pray that you touch each person that is in need of healing this morning, right now. Touch their bodies. Fresh start. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'll read this one last scripture. Thank you. 2 Timothy 4, you guys can be seated. This one kind of wrecks me in a good way as it relates to this. He says, but as for you, use self-restraint in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's do it, Awake Church. Let's do it.